heaven. And so the reason I want to share with you about a prayer time is something on my mind about heaven. And it comes about based on what happened this week. As you already know, our country passed a law in New York that allowed people to take a child's life in 9 months of gestation. And a rebuttal law, if you will, was put in place that if a child survived an abortion like that, that they would be allowed to have medical treatment. Our Senate denied that bill. Our Senate did not say that you could have that right as a child to survive an abortion and receive medical care. They said you couldn't do that. And I wanted to share with you a couple things. One is abortion has touched my family twice. Once before I was a Christian, my wife and I were not married and we became pregnant with Ashley. And when my wife informed me that we were pregnant with Ashley, then my girlfriend, I said the first thing, well, let's abort her. Let's abort the baby. And she and her present state of faith had the wherewithal to be strong enough and stand up to me and say that this is our baby. Why would we want to do that? Has anybody seen that family here today? 5 years later, we were at the hospital at the doctor's office with our second pregnancy with Paige, and at that time we were married, and we had a test done. The test revealed that Paige has a 75% chance of having Down syndrome. The counselor, so social worker counselor, pulled us aside, said, we want you to know that a child with Down syndrome is very challenging to take care of, and so we think that it's probably within your best interest to go ahead and abort this baby. Has anybody seen Paige? Even if she did have Down syndrome. And that's what we told them. We weren't Christians yet then. And I told this woman, even if that child had Downs, that life is worth it. Friends, we've got to a state of mind in this country where we don't value life. And it's sad. Well, what's heaven got to do with it? I'm a firm believer that every child ever lost before being born is in heaven right now of Jesus. Right now. I'm a firm believer in that. Yet we've got to repent as a nation. We have just got to repent. And so I want to encourage you in your prayer time today as you connect with Jesus. That's why we do that. We spend 120 seconds with Jesus every day. That's why we do this right now, is to connect with Jesus. And I just encourage you, with all that you have in your heart, cry out to Jesus that this nation would repent and stop killing children and start valuing life. Jesus, we love you so. And we're so grateful that we have you as our Lord and Savior, who kindly took on a cross for our sin to take away our shame and our guilt and our conviction that we have to have sins forgiven to be with you. And Lord, it's a bit of sobriety on our minds this morning as we can contemplate where our nation has fallen. And Lord, we want to stop this fall, and so please help us to repent as a country, to turn back and turn away from those things that bring about death and evil, to turn towards you, the giver of life. Jesus, we love you so, And I'm grateful for your own personal way you've touched my life and just how very kind you are. You're just so good and you're so kind. We love you so. And Lord, I'm sure that there are heavy hearts today in this room. We don't know what that heart is thinking and what that heart is contemplating, but you do. You know every heart here. And so, Lord, minister to the hearts here in this room in the only way you can. We love you so and pray this in your name. Amen. Good back there, Jess. Recording. Okay, thank you. Who is the most influential person in your life? I don't want you to answer out loud. I want you to think about that. Who has been the most influential person in your life? What person have you allowed to influence you the most? Used to years ago get these things. They're about yay tall and they have a cover on them. They're called magazines. You ever heard of those before? Vaguely. Used to get these magazines years ago. And there was a magazine years ago and still is. It had on the front of it TIME, Time Magazine. At the end of the millennium, they had, guess what they had? They had a top 100 people of the century. The top 100 people of the century. Now, I did a little research this week, and I want you to know I looked for one of your names in there, and I didn't see it. But you are influential people because of who's in you. But I want to share with you just a little trivia, if you can. If you can figure out some of the people I found were the top 100 people of the 21st century that they're most influential, okay? So we'll just go through the screen just to try to scroll through it, all right? So the first person... he died at 74, born in 1876, died in 1950. Birthplace was Angola, New York. Jess, everything muted up here except me. And then also, this guy is an American engineer. Now, you'll probably know this guy by his name, but before I get to it, I think you'll really appreciate this guy come August. Okay, come August. His name is Willis Haviland Carrier. Air conditioner. Vern's got it right. Ding, ding, ding. Vern gets a kiss from the preacher. First answer. Here we go. All right. Second guy. Here we go. I don't know what rank he is, but he's top, one of the top people in the 21st century as far as influences. Here's another person. This person was died at 82, lived from 1902 to 1984. Birthplace was Oak Park, Illinois. Okay, now you may guess who this person is by what they've done next. I bet you can figure it out. He is most well known for being a part of the most successful fast food operation in the world. His name? Raymond Albert Ray Kroc, and he's a part of McDonald's. Yep, that's right. That's Rick Ridge's favorite place to eat. Anyway, just kidding, Rick. Next guy, I bet you'll figure it out for too long. Next guy, he was died at age 72, 1902 to 1974. He was born in Detroit, Michigan. I think this next line will probably get you to figure out who it is. This young guy was 25 years old as a U.S. Air male pilot, unknown guy, known as Slim, Lucky Lindy, and the Lone Eagle. Any idea who it was? Yes, right. It's Charles Augustus Lindbergh and it's the Spirit of St. Louis. What did he do? Remember what he did? Solo flights across the Atlantic. That's right. Solo flight across the Atlantic. Okay. Now, this next person, he died at a very young age. I would think at the young age. Only 39. Born in 29. Died in 68. He was born in Atlanta, Georgia. This next line will probably have you figure out who this person is. This person was used the advancement of civil rights using nonviolent civil disobedience. Martin Luther King, that's exactly right. Martin Luther King Jr., and there's a picture of him right there. Now, you guys are doing a fantastic job this morning. So this next person, she lived in 92, died in 05, born in 13, just 4 years off from my grandparents, and she was born in Tuskegee, Alabama. Now, I'm sure this next line Bill Staten won't like, but some of you will probably figure out what it means. She refused to obey a bus driver. What is it? Okay, Rosa Louise McCauley Parks, that's her name. Yep, there you go. Okay, we're going to keep going. Now, this next guy, I've learned to come to appreciate my older age. He died at 93, born in 11, died in 2004. Okay, now he was born in Whiteside County, Illinois, known for moving to several places in Illinois. Now, one of his known things was in the 50s, he switched from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. Now, some things that you may also know about this guy, he was eventually a politician, but he started out his career as a radio broadcaster. And then he became an actor. This man was Ronald Wilson Reagan. All right? Not quite done yet. We got, I think, a couple more here for you. This guy here was died at 74, died in 1992. His birthplace was Kingfisher, Oklahoma. He is an American businessman and entrepreneur, and you can't go into one of his places without at least spending $100. That's right. It's Sam Walton, Samuel Moore, Sam Walton. Again, one of the most influential people in the 21st century. This is the number one person that Time Magazine rated as the number one influence in the 21st century, okay? Now, you'll probably get this when I say the birthplace. This man died at 76, born in 1875 and died in 55. He was born in Ulm, Germany. Anybody know where that is? Maybe not. Okay. What's that? Oh, Vern, I'm telling you, you can't get past these guys like Vern. He is well known for the equation E equals MC squared, introduced as a theory of relativity. He is known as Einstein, Albert Einstein. And boy, my hair looks like that if I had more. In some way, shape, or form, these people that I just shared with you have influenced us in the past 100 years profoundly. Now, you and I may know or not know how they've influenced it, but it doesn't necessarily matter because that's what time says. For better or for worse, these people influence a large majority of people, even the world. I want to share with you a person this morning that has influenced you in a profound way. And this person is someone we haven't always readily recognized, but he is readily available. And this person is, in fact, here today. I know what you're thinking. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about someone else. And he is, I believe, in my opinion, and I believe this is an opinion that holds water, is the Holy Spirit is the number one most influential person of all time. No contest? I think he is. And here's why. We learned two weeks ago, the things we learned about the Holy Spirit as a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. I need the Holy Spirit to live. The Holy Spirit creates. The Holy Spirit resurrects. The Holy Spirit seals us for redemption. Now, if you got your Bibles, go to Galatians with me. We're going to be in Galatians 5, okay? Galatians 5. Now, that's GEPC in the New Testament, so we always call that girls eating popcorn. Okay, so Galatians is in front of Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. And this is what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, because this is how we got here. Okay, all right. The Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 16 says this. So I say, live by the who? Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I always substitute flesh as sinful nature. If you want to find out why, talk to me after church. Flesh, okay. Since we live by the Spirit, you will not gratify desires of the flesh. Paul is commanding Christians attending the churches in Galatia to live by who? The Spirit. Okay? Now, often, we understand from the Bible that we need to do something, but we need to understand the how and the why sometimes. I'm so grateful that God gives us this. So sometimes we ask the question, okay, Paul's telling me to live by the Spirit, and so why do I need to walk with the Spirit? Why do I need to live by the Spirit? Now, you may not care to do that this morning. You may not have a care in your world to live by the Holy Spirit. But Christians are commanded in this verse to live by the Spirit. And sometimes, again, we're not given the why of the commandment, but I believe we are as we consider who the Holy Spirit is and what he's doing in our lives, your life, my life today. So in case you missed it 2 weeks ago, I want to give it to you again visually, because sometimes visually I can do things better. And so Holy Spirit, again, why? Why do I follow him? Look at this. The Holy Spirit's a person. The Holy Spirit is God. The next line gets me every time. I can't escape it. I need the Holy Spirit to what? I need the Holy Spirit to live. I need the Holy Spirit to live. All right, the Holy Spirit creates. Boy, I could lose some creative juices sometime in my life. The Holy Spirit resurrects. The Holy Spirit seals us for redemption, which means the Holy Spirit seals us for the resurrection for us to get to heaven. All right? If you didn't hear this sermon 2 weeks ago, it's on our website. You're welcome to go back there and grab it anytime you want. Any of those reasons are great reasons themselves, but number three always grabs me. I need the Holy Spirit to live. Anybody here interested in living? Okay, just a couple of us, all right? Well, if you're interested in living, who do you have to have in your life? You have to have the Holy Spirit, okay? Now look, I need the Holy Spirit to live. I need the Holy Spirit to live. I need that. I need the Holy Spirit to live. That's influence. If you're going to tell me I need someone to live, then I had better let that person influence me, because I need him to live. So that should beget a question in all of us. All of us should have this question, okay? Is this, how do I get the Holy Spirit in my life to give me life? And I don't know if sure you can see this right here, but you can see we go from death to life. And some of us are right here. We're a crusty, dry lake bed that's not producing anything. And if you want to have life, guess who you're going to need? So here's how we're going to ask it. I'm going to give you two things today. Here they are. Number one is this, how to ask for the Holy Spirit in your life. How do you do that? I think there's a couple things we need to consider when you ask that basic question. How do you ask for the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, how do I get the Holy Spirit in my life to give me life? How do I do that? Number one is this. Do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? That's a very basic question. That's just as simple as asking for supper. Do you want to eat supper tonight, honey? Yeah, I think so. Ask the question. Do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? What's your answer? Okay, the second question is going to be this. What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? So those two questions are very powerful, because it's hard for you to move forward in this message unless you answer those two questions. And some of you are going to avoid the question. If you avoid the question, you're likely going to avoid the rest of the sermon. And I'm sorry for you if you're going to do that. Here we go. Jesus tells us something about the Holy Spirit in Luke 11. It's going to be on your screen, Luke 11, 9 through 13. Now, I'm going to read this passage, okay? I'm going to read the passage. What I want you to do is read the bold italics down at the bottom. It starts with the word how when we get there, okay? So this is Jesus talking. He's giving a lesson. So here's what he says. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you, to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. Now one of you, your fathers, is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, here we go, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus says, we need, must, should be asking for who? The Holy Spirit. So we must believe that it's in our best interest to ask for who in our life? The Holy Spirit. It's our best to ask the Holy Spirit in life. So Jesus, knowing that our Heavenly Father is good, he desires to give us the Holy Spirit because the nature of the Holy Spirit is always life and good. Okay, since the Father is good, the Holy Spirit is good. Let me ask you a question today, church. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is a good person?
Yes.
Okay, do you believe the Holy Spirit is sent from God to give you life? Perfect, and we can be in agreement. So if you can answer those two questions, we then are ready to hear the biblical answer of how to ask for the Holy Spirit. How to ask for the Holy Spirit. Here it is. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of who? The Holy Spirit. Can't get any more clear than that in Scripture. Well, that's not a question. Why isn't it a question? Here, look, listen. We're asking how to ask the Holy Spirit in your life. Number one is this. Think about this. Repent. Okay, I'm going to go back to Acts 2:38, back on the screen. Here we go. First word, it says what? Repent. I go back to our point. How to ask for the Holy Spirit in your life. Number one is repent. What have you let become more important in your life than Jesus? What have you let become more important in your life than Jesus? And that's a problem. Is there anybody more important than Jesus, church? There is no one more important than Jesus. And so if you have found that to be true in your life, it's repent. Repent, what does that mean? It means if there's anything or anyone you want more than you want to be of Jesus, then you are in sin. You're in sin. And the best thing to do when you're in sin is repent from whatever it is to Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're repenting to Jesus, okay? So some of us have this thought process in our life that there's something or someone that we are convinced we cannot live without. And when we find ourselves that we can't live without that person, place, or thing, then that thing has become more important than Jesus. Ask yourself the question, what has become more important in your life than Jesus? It's a person, it's a place, or it could be a thing. And the answer is what again? Repent to Jesus. Repent to him. Just say, Jesus, I am so sorry. I have placed this above you. And so repenting is an ongoing action. It says in our life, I want the Holy Spirit. That's what repenting is. Now, I'm curious about this too, because we're continuing to ask the question, how to get the Holy Spirit in my life, how to ask the Holy Spirit in your life. Number two is be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized in whose name? In the name of Jesus Christ. So, when I think about this, Peter the Apostle was saying that in Acts 2:38. He says to be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, but he's not the only person that said that. Can you tell me who said this verse? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who said that? Jesus said that. It's pretty obvious to me that one way that we ask for the Holy Spirit in our life is to repent and to be immersed into Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's what immersion means. That's I'm asking for those three people in my life. Number three, we're continuing to ask for the Holy Spirit in our life, is this. Ask for forgiveness of sin through immersion in Jesus. For the life of me, I think there's liberty in this, but I want to share with you that sometimes liberty can be taken too far out of context. And there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. No such thing. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell you to lay your hands on the television, pray to Jesus, a confession of faith and forgiveness, and you'll be saved from your sin. It doesn't say that. The Bible says if you want forgiveness of sin, you'll be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. That's how you ask for forgiveness, is you choose to be immersed into Christ. So having said that, as you and I contemplate that and what that means for us, where are you today in that? Because here's what I know. Sin means that you miss the mark. I'm a bow hunter, and when I'm off mark, and I miss the target. That's what sin means. Sin means miss the target. Sin means miss the mark. That means we wander from the law of God. We violate the law of God. We're an offense to God. Let me ask this question. Can holy and sin exist in the same place? No. Can holy and sin exist in the same place? It cannot. It cannot exist in the same place. In other words, since the Holy Spirit is holy, how can he indwell someone who is not holy? Can he? No. Because he's not called the holy, sometimes sinful spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. So let's tell us something for you and I. Immersion is that part of our faith, and it's faith, that when I'm immersed into Christ, what happens to my sins? They're washed away. And suddenly, since my sins are washed away, I'm no longer sinful. I'm what? I'm clean, or I'm holy. I'm clean or I'm holy. Holy means set apart. I'm no longer sinful. I'm no longer in sin. I am holy. So then it only makes sense. If you look at the verse again, Acts 2:38. Go run back there real quick, Derek, if you don't mind the screen. And then go back to one you are now. In Acts 2:38, it makes sense. It has to happen in this sequence. We repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And then it says, and you will receive. It has to be in that sequence. Because what happens is, when you are a sinful person who's now become a holy person, guess who can inhabit you? A holy God. When you've taken care of your sin, your sin's washed away, the Holy Spirit then indwells a holy person. Because when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you are set apart for Christ, which means you're holy for Christ. Means when you're only for Christ. And the Holy Spirit now says, hey, wait a minute, this guy's cleaned up, made the actions that show they want to be cleaned up. They're now holy apart from sin, and now I can be where? The Holy Spirit can be where? Inside that person. Okay, thanks, Derek. Let's go back to screen 21. So how do I ask the Holy Spirit? Again, ask for forgiveness of sin through immersion in Jesus. It's pretty plain simple. All right? And through my immersion into Jesus, I'm no longer sinful. I'm no longer in sin, and I am now what?
Holy.
Holy. All right? Number two is this. How do I walk by the Spirit? How do I walk by the Spirit? You know, I was conscientious this week of a memory as I was watching the kids play, the girls play Friday night ball down at St. Joe. When I was a kid in junior high, I loved to play basketball. I was about the height I am now, about 50, 60 pounds less. And one time when I was walking down the court, running down the court, I don't know how I did this. I told somebody this before. I was running down the court, and the ball bounced, and I stepped on the ball. How do people do that? But I did that. I stepped on the ball, and I was a gangly kid, goofy. You know, my feet were long and large, and I was just a goofy, gangly kid. Not much has changed. But it brought back a memory of my mom when I was a kid. You see, when I was growing up as a kid, they said, Jeff is walking pigeon-toed. And so when I would walk like this. I'm exaggerating. But I would walk like this when I was a kid. And the doctor at that time, Dr. Bailey, I remember that's his name, Dr. Bailey, and I hated going there. But anyway, Dr. Bailey, he says, Barb, that boy is going to grow up pigeon-toed unless you get him to work on some muscle exercise with his feet. Well, okay, Mom says, what's he got to do? Well, make sure he sits in a chair. He sits in a chair barefoot and put pencils on the floor and have him pick up pencils with his toes and then hand himself the pencils with his toes. You know how often my mom nagged me to pick up pencils with my bare feet?
Jeffrey, you gotta do that. You're gonna walk pigeon-toed. You're gonna be pigeon-toed, Jeff. You gotta get that done.
Oh, I got tired of hearing that. It came back to light when I stepped on that basketball in junior high. I probably should have been picking up more pencils. I tell you that because I want to ask you a question. How do you want to walk in your Christian life? Do you want to be a pigeon-toed Christian? Come on, do you? Do you want to be a pigeon-toed Christian? Most of us would say, nope, I have no idea to be a pigeon-toed Christian. I just have no idea that I could be a pigeon. Well, you can be. You can be a pigeon-toed Christian, and your walk can be impeded. And so as you think about that concept, how do I keep from being a pigeon-toed Christian? Well, the same way my mom was trying to nag me. No one's nagging here. I'm just laying at your feet. And here it is. Are you willing to practice? Are you willing to practice to walk in the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to practice your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are you still in Galatians? Go to Galatians 5:16 again, okay? Galatians 5:16. We have to practice your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So Galatians 5:16 says this, so I live by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul says, if we walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So this verse tells me something, okay? This verse just taught us something. What influences you not to walk by the Spirit? What do you think it is? Look at the verse. It's your desires of the flesh, okay? So think about that. What influences you not to walk by the Spirit? It's your desires. That's what it is. It's your desires. And so we're asking the question, well, how do I walk by the Spirit? That's a great question. Well, how do I do that? I don't want to be a pigeon-toed Christian. I want to walk in step with the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, okay? How do I do that? All right? Well, here's how we do that. Number one, have you heard that word before? What is it? Repent. It means repent. It means you repent to Jesus with your desires. What does that mean? It means that when you have a desire to do something and you're not sure if it's the right thing to do, the best thing to do, or the only thing to do, you should be talking to Jesus and going to him and say, Jesus, this is my desire. I'm going to go to you, Thad. Now look, when you try to satisfy or carry out your desires for yourself, who are you trusting more to satisfy your life? You or the Holy Spirit? Yourself. And some of you are doing that. You're living in sin somewhere in your life when you're doing it. By what you're looking at, what you're putting in your body, who you're hanging out with, you're doing it. You're trying to satisfy your desires. And it's not going to work. Because when you start satisfying your own desires or let someone else satisfy your desires, guess who you're not walking with? Jesus. You're not walking with the Holy Spirit. That's for sure. Okay? So here's the thought. Stop trying to satisfy your desire. That's what it means. Stop trying. Well, what? I can't live without that. Yeah, you can. I can't live without this. No, yeah, you can. But this person, I can't live with. Yeah, you can live without them. Because it's not in line with Jesus. You don't need him anyway. So think about this. When you have desires and seem to have found a way to fulfill them, and you have seemed to have found a way to fulfill them, you need to ask the Spirit. You must ask the Spirit. Spirit, what do you want from me? And remember, the Holy Spirit is always what? Good. So he's always going to give you the best answer for you. That's a brave question. Brave question. So again, we're looking at the context. How do I walk with the Spirit? Galatians 5:17. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict, how? With each other. So that you may not do what? What you want. We Americans have a tough time with that. I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. You can do whatever you want. It's going to come back to bite you. Okay, looking at this, again, how do I walk by the Spirit? How do I walk by the Spirit? Have you heard that word before? What's that word again? Repent. Repent. From doing what you desire to what the Spirit desires for you. Repent. From doing what you desire to what the Spirit desires for you. You know, sometimes I have anxiety. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, you have anxiety. But if you're a human being and have been born, you've had anxiety. So sometimes I have anxiety. And I don't always know why I have anxiety, but I'll tell you how it feels for me. It feels like there's a battle going on inside me. I have nervousness. Some of the signs that people are nervous is they do self-soothing things like this. And I do this sometimes. Self-soothing things like this. Some people are fidgety. What are the signs of nervousness? Chewing your nails. Yeah, you can really tell people by chewing their nails. Their nails are gone. That's exactly right. I think men sometimes, because at least as my generation or earlier, their nervousness is sometimes conveyed to as a workaholic. Flat-out workaholic. Anyway, I get nervousness sometimes. I get butterflies in my chest. Sometimes I can feel like there's a jagged edge right in my heart, and I can just feel my heart feel like a sharp edge of anxiety. And I've even experienced chest pain in regard to anxiety. I can just feel that sometimes. And so I've learned to ask the question. I have learned to ask the question, Lord, what is this anxiety about? Lord, what is this anxiety about? And so many times in our culture, we're not asking questions. We're just like, give me something to stop the anxiety. I think that's not the best approach. The best approach is ask the question, Lord, what is this anxiety about? And remember, we're still in this concept of trying to find out how we walk with the Spirit. Now, if you look at the verse again, verse 17, okay, there's a conflict. There's a conflict. The conflict's between who? Your flesh and the Holy Spirit. So, since the conflict is between your flesh and the Holy Spirit, where does this conflict occur? Point to it, church. Come on. Where's the conflict occur? Okay? Point to it, okay? Point to it, church. Where do we experience anxiety? Does that make any sense to you? It's starting to make sense. Because here's what happened in my life. What is the natural result when my flesh is conflicting with the Holy Spirit who's inside me? It's anxiety. It's anxiety. When you're conflicting with the Holy Spirit based on your flesh, it's anxiety. Don't be afraid of anxiety. Ask Jesus the question, what is this anxiety about? Jesus, I'm anxious. What do you want me to learn about in this anxiety moment? And here's what I've learned for me in my own life. You know, I'm nigh on 50 years old, and I'm going to tell you a word that's significant to me has caused anxiety. I want security. I want a guarantee. And some of you are laughing. There are no guarantees. You're right. There's none. Doesn't stop me from wanting it. Has it stopped you? I want security in my health. I want security in my marriage. I want security in my family. I want security in my role here at church. I want security in my role in my community. I could just keep going and going and going. I want security where? Everywhere. I want a guarantee. Now, what does my anxiety about my security mean? Well, I could be a downer on myself. I could say you should do this and should do that and shoulda, and that didn't help anybody. So I keep asking the question. When I experience anxiety, Jesus, what do you want me to find out? And here's what I'm finding out. My desire for security, I'm wanting people, places, and things to do what? To what? To give me security. I'm wanting people, places, or things to give me security. And guess what I know about people, places, and things, or even myself? It's not going to happen. They're not God. I'm not God. And it's not going to happen. And so it dawns on me. Again, we're asking the question, what is this causing? I'm going to be disappointed. I know that. I can't trust that it's going to help me. I know that. It's not going to happen. And so what happens is I get this internal conflict going on. I say, I need this to help me, this person to help me, myself to help me, and I know I'm not going to get what? I'm not going to get help. And it causes what? Anxiety. And so when you have, think about this church, when you have a conflict on the inside, start to evaluate your desires, because it seems to me like your desires are conflicting with the Holy Spirit. It's on the inside. It causes anxiety. And so when you have internal conflict, or you need something or someone to cope with your internal conflict. We have too many coping mechanisms in this world. Stop coping and start hoping in Jesus. Stop coping and start hoping in Jesus. Ask the question, Spirit, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And it's always going to be what? Good. So here's a thought. We learned some things today. Here's what we learned. How do you walk by the Spirit? Here it is. Ask the Holy Spirit in your life by immersion. If you've done that, stupendous. You've already got step one down. All right? Number two is this. Repent to Jesus with your desires and stop trying to satisfy your desires. How long a project's that going to be? That's a lifelong project, folks. You can't do it once and get over it. You got to keep doing it over and over and over every day. Okay. Number three is this. Repent from doing what you desire to what the Spirit desires for you. Is the Spirit desire good or bad for me? Good. I want to share with you one more person today. One more person. You know, we had those few people there at the beginning. I want to share with you one more person today. In your mind, you can probably guess who that is, but we're going to figure this out. This person is easily influenced. Easily. This person wants to be loved. This person wants to be appreciated. This person wants to really live. Live. I mean, just want to live. This person wants to walk in a worthy manner. This person wants to trust. This person wants to repent to the Holy Spirit. And who this person is? I hope it's you. I hope it's you. I sincerely hope it's you. Because I'm telling you, friends, that's you on the right side of the page here. That's you. It can be anyway. So I want to encourage your heart today as we move forward in our song time, wrap up our time with each other. If you have a desire to trust in the Holy Spirit and understand what that looks like in a practical way, let's talk after church. If you're a lady and want to talk to another woman, Kay's right there. Elaine's right here. My wife's right here. Be glad to talk to you. And so let's stand together, and I want to pray for you, and then we're going to sing to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for the deep blessing of who you are. And Spirit, it's because of you we get the chance to even hear your word today. You tell us in the scriptures that you encourage men to write the Bible. The Bible is not written by men, but it's written through men by you, Spirit. Help us to be attentive to you today. We love you so. We pray this in your name. Amen. Jesus, ever Jesus Christ, tonight.